Hello, hello, everybody. Yes, man, I love that song as well, Cody. I'm so glad you liked it. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of If You Know, You Know, the show for Web3 creators and enthusiasts. I am your host, Belle, and each week I'm always joined by Web3 experts that bring you the latest trends, opportunities, and perspectives from the creators who have been and continue to shape the future of technology and art. Nothing we ever say is financial advice, and it's always important to do your own research. If throughout the space you have any questions or comments, please request to speak or just type it down below at the corner chat, and we'll be checking that throughout the show. I am super excited to get this show started. Man, man, man. If there is any like recognizable art out there or name that instantly gives the connotation of OG and how the hell are you still making it and people still love you and how are you still hanging in there and what can we all learn? It is Coley. Coley, welcome to the stage. Welcome to If You Know. We're so happy to have you on here.
Dude, Belle, thanks for having me. This is, man, you set it off great with that song. You got me fucking amped up right now. This is awesome. This is
that's what I love to hear.
Oh, fuck. So many memories on that song alone. Like, holy shit. Great to be here. Thank you for having me. I think you kind of like encapsulated everything quite well. It's a journey and we're like living our own movie right now. So I think it's fun to like take moments in time and stop and just like think about the movie that's happening around us. And it's good to be here.
I am so glad that you liked it, that you're here with us, that we got you fired up. You have like a history in music and documenting and taking photographs of music. So I don't know. Something told me that you would resonate with that. I want to kick it off with that. Oh, who is Coley? Like, before digital art was even a thing.
Yeah, so this exact song, it's cool that you picked this one because right before I got into doing 3D concert photography, the what led up to that was like 15 years of savage concert going. Like, I'm talking savage shit. Like, I lived in LA and I would get tickets to shows. Like, one of the big shows that I remember there was a Ramones tribute show in Hollywood, and it was for Johnny, who was battling prostate cancer, and it was this big deal show. And I waited in line. I was the first one in line. I got there. I drove by the venue at, I think, 9 in the morning or 8 in the morning, and there was nobody in line. So I went to the record shop, went to Amoeba for a while, and got back at 10:30, and still there's no one in line. Waited in line for like 10 hours, you know, I got to the front row, front and center. And I learned through that I could, the opportunity for memories is up to you. Right. So I was like, if I spend, you know, my day waiting in line, it's going to exponentially be a better experience than if I rolled in and I was in like the back of the venue. And time after fucking time, it paid off. Like at that show, they made a DVD. It's pretty funny. They made a DVD about this show. Okay. It's out there and it's called, I'll look it up while we're here. But it was about that show and I'm front row center and there's lots of clips of me singing and rocking out like in that DVD. And one of the things that didn't make it onto the DVD was the Red Hot Chili Peppers showed up unannounced and they did like an 8-song Ramones set, which is like fucking absurd shit for me. Like, so I'm front row center and all of a sudden the Red Hot Chili Peppers are in front of me jamming their fucking ass off to Ramones songs. And I'm like, oh my God, like what? Like, this is manifesting. Like that 8 hours spent is quantifiable. Like, and Anthony Kiedis is singing, right? And he starts spinning and twirling around the stage. And like, it was fun and awesome until Anthony spun off the stage. Okay. Like literally got dizzy while spinning, flies off the stage, literally into my arms. I caught Anthony Kiedis on the rail, and it's in the middle of the show, and he's like dazed, and he like looks around like, oh my God, I'm not hurt. I'm like literally like holding onto this man to save his fall. And he looks at me and we look at each other and he just like jumps back up on stage. Like we, so like my life with concerts is this crazy ongoing tale. And like those moments instilled in me the importance of documenting live concert memories. And it's funny, this Interpol song, I had traveled to Europe with my Pearl Jam friends. I've seen Pearl Jam like 30 times. They're like my equivalent of Following the Dead. I would go see Pearl Jam a lot, and it was great. And we had the chance as a group to basically sell everything we had and buy tickets and go to Europe for a European 6-show little mini tour. It was awesome. And the first show was in Dusseldorf, Germany, and Interpol opened for Pearl Jam. And oh my fucking God, like talk about a show. And like hearing that just took me back to such a blissful time. And man, I fucking love concerts. So yeah, I could go on forever.
That's so amazing. That's amazing. I love that. I was doing some major research on you and just the experiences of that and the memories of that. And you touch on a lot of, I don't know, it all makes sense to me, right, that you would like music. If you take a look at your artistic perspective and, like, your artistic style, it's we're going to talk about this, but I'm going to mention it just right now, which is like an immersive 3D experience that is an experience, right? That reminds me a lot of like what you're trying to create, not only what you're recreating from the music scene, your art. I feel like you're creating a lot of experiences that go just beyond the senses of just being able to view it. So to me, it all makes sense. Do you miss that? And when you said the word DVD, I had to laugh because I wondered, like, you know what I mean? Like, I wondered, like, does everybody in here even know what a DVD is? Does everybody in here, have they even experienced that, you know? Does everybody in here even have a DVD player anymore?
That is so funny.
I mean, the times have changed.
It's true. I'm dating myself, you know, like I am. Without dating myself, DVDs were like pretty norm for a long time. But you know, I appreciate what you said about the music or about the art. And I think that maybe subconsciously there is that, striving of the total immersion that I actually always do pinpoint to being at a concert, because there's such a sensory, like, it's not sensory overload, it's like sensory taking over in such a sense that you're not even like in your current existence, if that makes sense. Like I have been at shows where I completely lose myself in the beats, in the music, where like there's a certain level of being in sync with a vibe and a time and a place where everything melts away. And I'm not even on acid, right? Like I'm just very heavily vibing on it. And I think that when like being in that, like kind of like, it's not a beta state. It's like it's a different state of being. And I think being in that over and over with concerts, it kind of like got me in tune with how that feels in general. And when I make art and I'm able to get into that state while creating it, that is where I find my biggest joy. And I don't think there's success in art making. It's just a process. But I think I find my most bliss in that state of mind when I'm creating, and it does come from concerts. I 100% for sure.
I think it's all in the same vibe, on the same wavelength. Yeah. Who inspires you? You know, who's your favorite musician? Who do you sing in the shower to?
God. And I'll, it's funny when you say sing, because like, I love, singing karaoke, and I actually started doing karaoke because I was social phobic, diagnosed, like really couldn't talk to people. And one of the things that I forced myself to do is get up in front of people and sing. And it was, excruciating at first, you know, trembling hands and the whole thing. But then, not only did I get used to being silly in front of people, but I also realized that I loved singing and I had a good voice. So I was like, holy shit. Like, you know, you take an opportunity for one thing and then you realize something else. And, I was thinking about this song. Like I know that I would rock this song. It's in my register. So I'm going to do Interpol, karaoke. It's going to be fucking great. But I, in terms of like musicians who've had a major impact on me, first and foremost, I mentioned earlier, Pearl Jam. What they embody, especially when they were like first coming out and like in their mid career, I saw that like a group of normal people could make fantastic things. And that's what I saw from Pearl Jam. Like these guys were just, you know, Eddie was a janitor and like a fucking, you know, like they just had normal lives and like they were able to come together and make this profoundly impactful music for many people. And I, again, DVDs, like I would watch these Pearl Jam DVDs and I'd see them in the studio and I would like watch that as a creative, as a kid, right? As a kid who yearned for a creative outlet, and they were doing it. And I was like, holy shit, like I can do it too, because these are normal guys, right? Like I'm a normal guy. So let's try it. So I think kind of looking at, you know, those types of them specifically, Soundgarden, I mean, Chris Cornell, probably the most amazing person I've ever gotten to experience live. He's like an earth angel. I don't even know who the fuck that guy was. Like, he was not fully like human. He was, there was something else embodied there. And I think that being in the presence of those people greatly impacted me in a sense that I can do my best, right? Like I've seen what the greats are able to do, and it gives you that like inner strength to like just try, like with no expectation of like, I would never put myself even close to those people, but it makes it attainable where it's like, yeah, like look at them, they did it, like cool, like they're expressing their creative dreams, like I want to express my creative dreams, like why the fuck not? So that really empowered me.
Hell yes, I love that. I cannot wait to see you do some, you know, live karaoke on that Interpol. I think you're going to crush it. I think it's amazing. I love that.
I need to go tonight. I feel like I'm going to figure that out tonight.
You mentioned, like, you know, being inspired by people that were just the normal guy that just did nothing out of the ordinary and became extraordinary. And you're going to be, I don't know if you're going to be surprised by this, because I don't think that I was even all that surprised by this, but Brian Brinkman joined us on the show last week, right? And I know you know Brian, and Brian is such an amazing creator, but also an amazing person inside and out. And we talked about the fact that you were going to be joining us this week, and he said that very same thing about you. We talked about how in his career and in his journey and when he came into the NFT space, he wanted to, obviously, just like everybody else, wants to break through, right? And that there was this particular group of artists, of OG artists, that were already in the space that were doing great things without really knowing that they were doing great things. And he talked about how he just wanted to be like that. You know, he just wanted to be in that crowd. He just wanted an opportunity to just hang out with talk to them, just be in that energy and in that space. And he specifically said, Coldy was one of those people that gave me that opportunity and something that I will never forget and always be grateful for, because there's always, you know, everybody has a first new day into whatever it is that they're aspiring to be. And in digital art, in a space that is, you know, so creative and honestly hard to immerse yourself or to be seen, you saw him. And I would imagine that if I spoke to other creators and other artists in the space, I would hear that story again and again and again. What does that mean to you?
Jesus, Belle, you're going to make me cry. I'm going to fucking puddle of tears over here. Brian is an amazing guy, first of all, like right back at him. We've gotten to be friends pretty quickly. He's one of those people that's just so authentic and so just a pure guy. Like you get Brian Brinkman when you see Brian, and I can suss out a friend pretty damn quick in my old age. And Brian checks all those boxes. You know, I got to hang out with Brian in frickin' Dubai. You know, we had these wild experiences together. And for me, you know, I'm the type of person that I think that, you know, life is a journey and we're all on the same journey. We just kind of started at different times. And Brian embodies everything that I see in myself as a creator, you know, and just as a good human being. So, you know, a lot of it for me is, I don't care who you are or like what, I don't believe in status or how good somebody is. Like, I love meeting people and having genuine connections. And he's one of those people that it was so easy. And I just love just being there for people and like paying it forward, because I'm also not greedy with my knowledge, where, you know, if there's something that I figured out along the way that helps other people not, you know, stumble down or, you know, lose time figuring out, I'm going to tell them, because, you know, it's just for the better of everybody. So I think that, you know, I take a lot of pride in you know, trying to give my advice to people while also, you know, having them spread their own wings, because there's 1,000,000,000 ways to be creative. But I think the commonality of, you know, coming together and having friendships, you know, especially, you know, I'm over 40 years old, and like, it's hard to find friends when you're older. You know, if you think about it, you know, usually we have our lives and you get a group, but that's kind of it when you get to a certain age. And I think that is also one of the biggest blessings of this whole journey, is that we are able to make new friends. And that's so much more important to me than like floor prices or like whatever, the market conditions. Like, finding one friend at all is amazing. And I think that I have found so many friends, and I feel like my cup is overflowing and I'm always having new friends, that, it just warms my heart. I appreciate you saying that. And I'm just thinking about all my friends, and many of my friends are here right now. I'm in here right now. I'm looking down, friend, lots of friends. And I'm sure there's other people in here that I'll become friends with, because that's just how it is. So, love fest.
That is how it is. It must have been really hard though, because it still is really hard for people who are naturally introverted, or you mentioned social phobia. There are so many people who have really struggled to make it in real life, you know, outside of social media or outside of the internet, really, who discovered a completely different online community. But it's also really hard, like I said, to be seen, you know, in the space. You have managed to do a really, really, really outstanding job with that. Was it harder or easier being one of the very first crypto artists in the space?
I would say it was undeniably hard at first because there was no space. There wasn't anything. It was like I literally walking through a barren desert that every once in a while you pass another traveler headed somewhere else, right? Like it literally, there was nothing. And it was good in a sense because there was no expectations. There was nothing to particularly like, there was no levels to get to. It was pure art making, right? Which was always the goal. But there wasn't collectors, literally. There wasn't a collector. Like someone would randomly buy the piece and you would see their name, but it had no bearing on anything. And it was great back then. And for people who don't know like the timeline, this is like 2018, like I think like April to August was like the very first time that I was doing it. And it was great because I just wanted like another way to share my art. Like there was no dollar signs, and there never, the dollar sign is not the point of this journey, but the ability with the technology to put your art online and sell it worldwide 24/7, all the things that we understand now. I was like looking at this foreign new concept that instantly made sense to me. I was like, this is it. There wasn't like I'm going to keep track of this and see where this goes. It was like, I'm fucking jumping in head first. And I don't care how deep that water is. I'm fucking going in and I'm going to figure it out. And my goal at the very, very start was to prove the technology for the major artist that could use this. That was my pure intent. And it's clear as day. I remember thinking that over and over. It's like, and there were two artists that I was like envisioning, like knocking this out of the park. So I said, the first one was Shepard Fairey. I'm like, Shepard Fairey, this is meant for that level person, like Shepard Fairey and Banksy. I was like, these guys, these artists will love this, but they need people to prove it, right? They need it to happen by others because they're a business and they need to see, well, holy shit, this actually does work. I can jump in because that's the way it works when you're a major like blue chip artist. So my intention was always to do my best art, but with the end goal that these major artists would see it and be able to benefit from it.
Ah, man, you touched two artists that are near and dear to my heart. When I knew about the blockchain technology and the capability to, you know, forever inscribe or forever have digital art, I thought about those artists as well because they, I don't know, they deserve to be put on the blockchain, right? They deserve to be stopped in time. And there's so much more than just the art or just the visual aspect of it. There's pieces. And there's a story behind that, which can be said for, you know, all of the digital artists that we have now. I was going to say for all of the generations, but it almost feels like the space goes so incredibly fast that I would say that you are one of the first generations, you know, or like generation zero to have come in the NFT space. And so I completely understand why you would say that. I want to ask you about your art style directly. And actually before that, I do that, I want to encourage everybody. I pinned up to the top, this particular space. And so if you could retweet that, that would be amazing. So we can get some more people in here. Your style, how did you, there's so many questions that I have about it, but let's start from the beginning. How did you even get involved or interested in the 3D art style?
My very first thought about this was in high school. I was in a, it was like freshman year. You have to take computer graphics and typing. And I was in this computer graphics class. And back then, I'm going to really date myself. There were these things called like image art explosion, where it was like 100,000 clip arts. It was like really early shitty, like PNGs and
what
JPEGs.
A clip art is, for those that don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's clip art. It's like the original meme, or it's like this things that you could collage, right? And like, God, talk about synchronicity. I'm like in a collage class when I'm freaking 15 years old. And I had this like vision that I was like, man, I wish I could like get some depth on these things. Like they're so flat on top of each other. It's, you know, it loses a lot. And it was that elusive journey to solve that equation for myself, right? Like, ever since I remember, I found a drop shadow in Photoshop. I was like, well, that definitely helps, right? Like, that definitely helps. And then you could bevel it. You're like, okay, you know, these like kind of shitty rudimentary things, but it was moving the meter for me. I was like, okay, like this is good. Then, God, as it would happen, my uncle found a 3D camera, a film camera in a dumpster. And he gave it to me. He's like, I think you can use this. He's like a little like shaman dude. I'm like, what? Okay. I had no idea what it was. I learned about stereoscopics, and that was the big breakthrough, was being able to take for people who don't know what this is, it's basically, you're faking the eye, like you're fooling the brain into an illusion of depth that if you wear 3D glasses, is one of the most common ways. The image will like pop off the page and it works. And as soon as I saw that, my entire existence like shifted. It was like everything was different, like quite literally after I experienced that. I knew the path, and I knew that path, I think, when I was like, I was in LA, I was probably like 20, 24 or something like that. And it just like clicked. I was like, all right, well, that's what I'm doing for the rest of my life. And that is like, I'm looking around my studio right now. I have lenticulars I've made. I have 3D art fucking everywhere. And that is what brought me joy. And that is why I knew I had to keep doing it. It was because it was hitting that essence I was telling you about earlier, that sensory shift. I was like, this is it. Like, and when it's not that way, I'll find what is, but I've yet to not be very amused by stereoscopic art.
That before or after you started working with LA Weekly? Because I want to hear that story.
Yeah, man, I love this. You did your digs. So it was concurrently with LA Weekly. So I was learning about stereoscopics on my own, and just dabbling and really just trying to figure it out on my own. Like, the internet was still pretty rudimentary back then. There wasn't a lot of, you know, resources like we have now. And I found this club in LA called the LA 3D Club. And they held their meetings in the basement of a church, and they would look at old stereo pictures on a big screen projector. It was, and the average age was like 60 years old. It's an old person's
niche. That sounds like an old people's group.
Oh my, it was like water. It was like, beautiful lotus flowers, right? Or, you know, the Grand Canyon, or like whatever these people, it was like their showcase. And God, those pictures are so amazing. And like, so I'm in there like 24, like sitting in the back, chilling, doing my thing. I probably smoked some weed before I went in there, you know, like might as well have some fun. And I'm just chilling, and I perked their interest. Like, and again, I was very social phobic. I was not into talking. So I was like, just be in there. And I would get into these awkward conversations with people, and they were just baffled. This was like before 3D televisions came back, and they're like, what do you like? How do you find us? Like, what are you doing here? You know, like, they're very welcoming, but they're like, wow, like, why are you here right now? And I, you know, hit it off with them and I showed them what I was doing. And I was told by several of these people that this is a dying art and that they saw me as a, like a torchbearer, and they wanted to instill everything that they knew. And they did that. Like, I had legends. Some of them have, most of them have passed away, and they said, we want this art to live on. And you have such a zest for it. And you're an artist, and you're, you know, they saw the quality of whatever I was making back then, and they did it. Like, it's like another tearjerker was like, they wanted this to live on, and I'm doing it. And I take so much pride in bringing Stereoscopics ahead in whatever way I can, because I learned from the literal legends, and they, there was just such a love and care that, like, I would learn. Like, so bringing it together with the LA Weekly project, I pitched my boss, Shelly. I love Shelly. And, I said, hey, I would love to do a 3D concert poster for our music festival. And we had done the year before that was like Queens of the Stone Age and Beck and the Basement Jacks, like a banging lineup. It was awesome. And the coming year was Mars Volta and Go Go Bordello, which, if you don't know who those bands are, very fun live, very fun, very amazing sonic bands. And I pitched it, and I had to pitch it to Golden Voice, who's they were promoting the show. They also do Coachella. So I had to have my 3D samples, and I went into like the high rise on Wilshire Boulevard to the Coachella, you know, boardroom. And like, all of a sudden I'm pitching these people, and they're like, holy shit, like, this is rad. They're like, you can absolutely do this. And that turned into, we made these flyers, these like, we put flyers in the week's 100,000 readers. Was everyone got a flyer with 3D glasses on it, and it was a 3D poster. So I got my artwork on my very first project out to 100,000 music lovers in LA. It was the best, craziest way of getting my art out there that, even looking back on now, was simply amazing that it even came together. And I was stoked on it. I was very happy with the poster. One of the legends, Ray Zone, he made like 200 3D comic books in his career. I was at his house taking these like one-on-one lessons, like how to make this poster the best I could. And, so I had like this rallying community around me, and it hit so hard. Like, at the LA Weekly merchandise booth, and this concert happened in 2009. I got a call. I'll never forget it. I got a call from Shelly, and it sounded like pandemonium. It like sounded like, I wasn't sure if something was going wrong or not. She's like, you need to get down here like right now. I was like, oh no. Like, what's going on? Like, is everything okay? She's like, you have to see what's happening. We ran out of posters to hand people, and they're ransacking the booth and tearing things off the wall. I was like, what? So I ran over there, and by the time I got there, so they had hung up the posters to make like a wallpaper, like around the edges of the, it's like a 10x20 booth. And I walk in there, and like everything was gone, and there was like a couple shreds of corners that were like sitting on the ground, and I'm like, whoa, like, it was a lot to take in. I was like, wow, I guess that went well. Like, holy shit, great. And I'll never forget it. There was this there's a girl sitting on the ground, and she was openly on mushrooms. Like, she was not keeping that a secret. And she was like sitting there, and she's like, man, I told her, like, yeah, I'm, I, you know, I'm like, I made this stuff and it's gone. I'm just kind of chuckling. And she's like, I don't know, like, how you did what you did, but, like, this is fucking crazy shit. I'm like, wow. Like, that to me is, like, better than even Golden Voice telling me how well the project went. Like, I had the active, like, tripping out concert goer, like, unable to understand what they were looking at. Like, that, it does not get better. Like, show me a better review than that.
That's wild. You brought back a whole culture.
Yeah, to certain people, you know, like, but the thing is, my reach is so small that it's kind of like, I'm trying to be that like butterfly effect where it's like, I'm going to do my little thing over here, flap my damn wings. And I just hope that reverberates into more people learning about it and seeking it and making it, right? That to me is part of the job, you know, of torch bearing. So yeah, oh man, I have not thought about that in a long time. Thank you for that. That was fun.
That's amazing. I think that makes, you know, who you are and your experience, your journey just in life, but also as an artist. Fast forward to you are now, you know, squarely in the NFT space, squarely in blockchain crypto art. And I would envision, like you said, there's no color. There's really no interest in it, but you got your conviction. And you know what? You were actually the very first artist that sold a piece on Super Rare to surpass the $1,000 US amount. I mean, making waves for sure.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's so
Edward
funny.
Snowden.
It's so, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, the Edward Snowden piece sold for 5.6 ETH in a world and not even, like I said, $1,000 had surpassed on Super Rare. I mean, it. Is it? Feel, you know, you go through this experience and you're really doing it just for the love of it, for the passion of it. You know, you said not the dollar amount doesn't even count, but you do make these waves and you do it in a way in which, you know, is bringing you like not just art, but in passing the torch. And that has to feel monumental, maybe, without admitting that it's monumental.
Oh man, it is, yeah. I'm not usually. I think one thing that I always strive for when I'm making art is to strip away anything besides just the artistic intent. Right. I think that has been like really crucial and it's always on the forefront. And like, it's funny. I'm looking at the lenticular of that, the Edward Snowden right now. I have a whole stack of these lenticulars. It's crazy. I mean, it was super amazing that somebody, was it Rob Ness? Do you have the thing in front of you? Who bought it? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was Rob Ness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is.
Which, I mean, Jesus. And first of all, like, if people don't know the Rob Ness story, Rob Ness was one of the Rare Pepe artists, right? He was making Rare Pepes. So he is the OG, right? And we all are, you know, coming after each other, right? Same thing about the journey. Like, Brian Brinkman and me, Rob Ness came before me, right? There's a trail. And he called me when I started doing this new 3D rotation movement in my Photoshop work. It was different than the GIF, the wiggle of two frames. This was more of a fluid movement. And Rob was like, dude, you uncracked something here. Like, you have to keep doing this. And I was very pleased when I did it myself. I was already planning, you know, like, oh yeah, this is good. But the validation from another artist that this was something, meant a lot to me. And I was like, yeah, dude, like, thank you for caring enough, right? He could have not done anything, but he reached out to me and he said, dude, like, homie to homie, you killed it. Keep going, right? Like, that is huge. And I think we all need to do that in general with our friends, our artist friends, our real life friends, you know, fucking encourage the shit out of each other, please. That's a fucking task for every single one of you. Seriously, fucking do that. You have 2 days. Report back. But like, he did that for me. And then it became this, like, when other people found it, it was just nuts. It was special to me because it was a transitional moment in my artistic career that was in real time felt. Like, I wasn't an oil painter who painted something and then it finally made its way to whatever, Milan, and somebody noticed. Like literally within 24 hours of making it, it was like on Super Rare, because that's just what you do when you're done. You put your art up. And there was not nearly anything like this. There was like probably a total of 20 people at any point that were interested in buying things, you know, like, different people would have different styles, but it wasn't like now at all. But I remember everybody was like, oh shit, I want that. And that felt good, you know, as a creator. It's like, cool, like, I guess I'm amusing you as much as I'm amusing myself. Like, that's good. And then when it sold for over $1,000, I was baffled, you know, like, you know, the journey, like, took a wild turn. It's like, holy shit, really? Like, I make something and then it has its own life. I don't control. I have no bearing on anything I make. I make it. And then the hardest part for me is to mint it, right? That's like giving birth. So like, I created something and then I birth it. And then you just like make something new, but that art starts making its own story. So I had no control over any of that. And it was pretty amazing. It's like, wow, that one resonated very deeply with people. Like, cool. You know, like, I'm stoked and I'm already working on, you know, new things, but it's like the feedback loop is like, felt really good. It's like, holy shit. Like, cool. You know, it was wild.
What do you want people to take away and remember from Stereoscopics?
I think that stereoscopic imagery, no matter what it is, but especially in fine art, I've done a lot of like research, like watching people, not like a creepy guy, but just, you know, observing people as they look at my art. It's like a science experiment. Because we've all gone to galleries, and usually the average, maybe not average, but whatever, run-of-the-mill concert or gallery looker would kind of pace and stop at times, but there's a lot of kind of sidestepping and quick glances and, you know, quick amusing moments at art. And the one thing that I noticed was when somebody, especially with 3D glasses, had to take the glasses, put them up to their eyes, and experience the art, I had captured 100% of their attention for as long as they were looking at that art. Because they had to then decide to take the glasses down and move on, right? So I would start, you know, just like seeing, like, I wonder how long does somebody look at this art? Because it takes some time. You put it up there and your brain literally gets tricked. And there's a millisecond of time where you put those glasses up and the brain is registering that as real, because for every other waking moment of your life, there has been depth. And this is also depth. So this, you know, it falls back into this like, oh yeah, of course, this is life. But then it's like, oh, I don't think so, because there's like a huge, there's two huge moons and a UFO and an astronaut floating. I don't think this is real, right? There's, then the brain snaps in. You're like, oh yeah, okay, I'm looking at art. But then you're not used to seeing artwork that has depth. So then you start tripping out on this new way of viewing art. So I've done so much like research on this just because I'm around it all the time. Like people look at, would look at it for a very long time. And then I'm like, holy shit. Like they were looking at that thing for like 2 minutes straight. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. And that to me is also the goal of stereoscopic art. Like I don't care if you like my art or if you hate my art or if you don't give a shit. All I care about is engagement. And I think that if it, with all of my art, what it boils down to is if I can make a person have a feeling, a single solitary feeling, that is the entire point of why I make art, a feeling. So you can love it. Great. Again, you can not give a shit. I mean, I guess that's a feeling, but that's on them. Or you can not like the art. And I actually had a moment at an art fair right when I was starting my NFTs. It was like 2017. And I had this art show at a coffee shop. And this woman, it was during an art walk. So there's lots of people walking around. I live in kind of I call it the menopausal art capital of the world. And this woman walked in, older lady, and she looked around. She gave it about, you know, enough time to have a really quick opinion. She's like, she came up to me. She's like, are you the artist? I was like, yeah, like welcome to my show. And she said, I just want you to know that I do not like your art. And without skipping a beat, because I've always held the same feeling, I said, oh my God, thank you so much. And she like stopped and she was kind of scowling at me now, like these, like her eyebrows were like kind of crooked. I was like, you know, the whole point of all this is for people to have a feeling. So thank you so much for your intense feelings. And literally I could feel her soul like quiver a little bit, like some truth, like a truth drop. And she just turned around and left. And I wasn't like being a dick at all. Like I was literally like very kind and just stated that. And to this day, I have not encountered, well, I mean, I've met people who really like the positive, like there's people who love the art. They love it. That's great. But I've never met somebody with such conviction on the opposite side. And it hit just as hard for me, like impact wise, as somebody I meet who loves the art, right? And that's funny to think about because it's true. It was so intense and real. I was like, wow, like that's beautiful. It was great.
Oh my God, I love that. I'm surprised you didn't invite her to a coffee to like, let's really dive into.
I mean, she was already 95. She was already 95. I don't think she's, I mean, hopefully she's still around, but I doubt it.
That is hilarious. Oh, I love that. One of the really interesting things that I find, you know, just different and interesting about this is that in order to see your art with its intended purpose is by putting on these 3D art glasses, except for when they rotate in that way. Are we still seeing it for, you know, its intended purpose? Even without a glass?
You know, another very good question. Short answer is yes. I want people to see the illusion of depth. And I think that there's different ways to get that same guttural reaction. You know, it's technically executed in a different way. Technically, the 3D camera movement is not popping off the screen. Right. But it's the parallax movement. I think that, kind of get across what I want to. And I had to do that with that Snowden piece because nobody owned 3D glasses. Out of everyone here, let's see, I could probably pick out, and actually, let's say anybody who doesn't have Coldy 3D glasses, I would say zero, because I know a couple homies on here I have given 3D glasses to. Besides that, this is actually the ones on my profile picture, which was photographed. Okay, let's stop. Rainier is like amazing photographer. Rainier Hosh, follow him, please. He took that photo of me. He took that at the Beeple opening, if I am correct, and just captured the moment. So just a little bit of love, please. And I just bought my first piece of his, and it's a photo of Michael Jordan. Just a great photo and a story. Art with stories is what I like. So a little sidebar. Much love, dude.
Followed you right now.
Yeah, please do, everybody. I'm not wasting your time. I'm really not. So anyways, nobody had 3D glasses, and I realized that my reach was not as intended, because I would talk to people who collected it, and they'd write me and say, dude, super sick art. I'm stoked to own it. And I would obviously say, thank you very much. And the very second thing was, do you have a pair of glasses to see the artwork with? And 9 times out of 10, it was a response of, oh, I didn't even know like glasses were part of it. I just thought it was like a cool design, which is always the goal. And I would chuckle and say, thank you. Please send me some mailing address so I can send you some glasses. Like, it's, if you like this, I can't wait to see your reaction when you see the depth in it. And, it was a great way to meet people, but I literally had to send the tools to view my art, and that's not scalable. You know, that's, you know, like when I did the Snoop Dogg portrait, how am I going to get the glasses? You know, it's just not doable. So that's where the 3D rotation became a cool new way to satisfy myself to make stuff. Everything doesn't need to be stereoscopic 3D. I have plenty of pieces around my studio that are not. But when it can be, it is. So I think that it was a necessity of growth that like just broadened my skill set, because I had to. Like, you have to evolve. And that was a huge barrier, and it still is, you know. And please, if anybody wants 3D glasses, like if you really want to look at some 3D art, and I'll say that to everybody in here, if you really want to look at some 3D art, my DMs are open, right? Like, this is part of it. Like, if you want, I'll fucking send you some 3D glasses. You know, it's more people need them.
Yeah, I don't think anybody actually has 3D glasses unless you had them for like something prompted that, you know? So I think it's really interesting that that's what you chose. Yeah. And you got to have a shitload of conviction for that. Like, you have to. You have to have a lot of conviction in that.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, nobody cares. I mean, nobody cared at all when I made these things. Like, and I didn't care if people cared. But I was making weird shit that I loved. And I think that is what every artist, when they find that thing, you know, that's it. And I just was doing my thing, and I was stacking up these lenticular prints, and I would take them to coffee shops, and like, I would just busk. I would like make my own little art booth at an art walk, because I couldn't get a show. I was just like, hey, like, look over here. You know? And it's just like, the art path is the path less taken, and I took the less taken path of the artist. So it's like the edge of the alley. You know, it's like way deep in there, but that's what made me happy. And I think that's what became that little like conduit that helped me get to where I am now. Just keep
a lot of people would say a lot of people would say, if nobody cares, I'm just giving up. Like, you know, I'm stopping this. Nobody's seeing it. Nobody's buying it. Nobody cares. Except, have you ever had those moments in which you just wanted to stop and pivot and do something else?
There was one moment where I was making something and it went so wrong that I threw it in the trash and I said, that piece is ruined. But it has a very good ending. So I was working on this piece and I learned this like really, very like fine art way of putting images on a canvas, and it's called an image transfer. Extremely difficult process, but when it works, it's like it's beautiful. And I figured out I could put my 3D art onto the gel transfer. So I got super nerdy with my fine art degree. I was like, oh shit. So I'm doing this stuff on a canvas, and it takes, in order to do a, let's say an 18 by 24 frame, it would take probably 50 hours to get it done, just to transfer the image onto the canvas, not even to make the thing. And I was like a third of the way done, and it was my second time doing it, and I was still learning like the process, and the whole top like 30% of it like broke free and was useless. It was just like gone. There's no way to fix it. And at that point, you know, I was probably in 20, 30 hours of burnishing this process. I was like, oh shit. You know, like I fucked up. And I threw it in the trash can. I was living in my parents' basement, quite literally. And I was like, wow, that sucks. And I'm staring at it, and I don't know. It happened very quickly. It was like without walking away from that trash can, I was like, how do you fix it? Like what do you do? Like, you're not like, I wasn't going to quit. I had to finish the fucking project. You know, I'm already this far. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. You got to finish this thing. You know, like, time to call an audible and figure this shit out. And I don't know where this came from, but very much instantly was, you need to blowtorch this canvas. You need to fuck that area up that got ruined. And there wasn't a second thought. That was gonna be the game plan. So I was like, "Oof, you know, let's figure it out." So I literally blowtorched it, and that piece, stereoscopic piece, which would later also become a NFT on Super Rare. There was a group show at my hold on, my AirPods are dying.
The issues of having live shows here, everybody. We do them a lot.
Am I back?
You're back. You're good.
Okay. I'll sum this up quick. We're going to be here about 4 hours, everybody. So just get ready. Just joking. So I burned the piece, and there was a artist group show in my really small menopausal art capital town. And I put my art in there, and it sold. It was like, it sold in a fucking gallery, and it went from trash can to my first gallery sale. And that like really shook my soul. I was like, holy shit. Like, really? I was like laughing when they called me. I was like, okay. So it's that thing, and that quickly imprinted on me that this is my journey. Like, it's almost like the universe was telling me, you don't stop. Like, if you do think you're going to stop, it's almost like intervention will happen so that you keep that going. Like, that thought popped in my head. If I didn't, I would probably not think I was supposed to be doing this. But I kept getting, and I still do all fucking time, get these breakthrough thoughts that, like, I'm almost like, where the fuck did that come from? Sometimes it's good weed, but sometimes it's not. right? You're like, whoa. And I'm really careful to honor my thoughts. That brings on, God damn it. I'll literally stop. I will talk forever. You're going to have to shut this down when you get tired of it.
Keep going. I'm not shutting it down while you're in the middle of that thought.
Oh my God. Thanks for listening, everybody.
I want to hear this.
Oh yeah. Okay. So honoring your thoughts, right? Honoring quite literally your intuition. And I have a piece that I made called Trust Your Intuition. And it was because specifically of a very traumatic event where I literally almost died, which I don't really want to tell that story right now, but it was a very impactful. There's tweets about it. There's tweets. We can forward the tweet. It ends well. So I had this like situation where my intuition told me to go downstairs right before a shootout started. It was nuts. Or not before. When the shootout happened, my intuition reminded me to go downstairs. I'll clear that up. So I had this like very crazy life moment where my life was like quite literally saved by my intuition. And I made an art piece about that. And the whole goal of that art piece is for other people to maybe even have permission to honor your subconscious, because everybody does get it. I think it's a matter of being receptive to that. And I think that making that piece has honored that, and has, I get reached out to people, you know, sporadically, but it happens where people are like, hey dude, like I just went through a major life thing and I remembered your art piece and I trusted my intuition and it went well. I'm like, holy shit. Like, holy shit. If you're talking about what it means to make art and somebody does that, that's it. Like, I don't even fucking care. Like, that's it.
You're a soul whisperer. Has anybody ever told you that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, you spoke to the people's souls.
Yep. Ooh. Yes.
Did that even speak to your soul?
God.
Yes. Uh huh.
Man. Yep. No. Yeah.
You spoke to their souls. That's really I don't know, a really really special thing. You know, that not everyone is able to capture. I have had those moments as a collector. And my late husband was an artist, and I had those moments through, like, living through him, right, of being able to experience that. And I think that when one of my favorite things about discussions every week with different artists, creators, et cetera, is really when peeling back the onion and like diving into situations and moments just like that, right? What drives you? What really moves, really inspires you? Why do you do this?
It's like, I mean, the simple word that I'd have to quantify is obsession. There's something that is innately ingrained in my soul that has to create realities, right? Like, there's just something where it's like, artwork is like super like attainable way of doing that. You just create. But in general, I like to create realities, and I guess that's like in whatever you do, you know. And I think that that's what keeps me going, and there's never like a thought of not doing that. I do have my personal life where I don't make art, you know. I got plenty of shit like we all do,
but when I'm in this thing, it doesn't end. Like, you know, people talk about retiring and stuff like that. Like, well, no, like you don't retire. Like artwork is like a form of retirement that is perpetual, where it's like you don't do it, but like you kind of, the goal is to feel retired when you're making art. But like, I'm going to make art forever. Like, and if you're talking about souls, I think I've made art for a very long time in many different ways. You know, I don't think this is like a one trick. I'm not a one trick pony and I'm just going to live one time and I got lucky making art. Like, I have the opinion that there are multiple like lives, you know. I think this is just the current version is like making art right now. Right. And I think that we all, I'm not going to get into all the existential shit, but like, I think that, you know, for myself, it's just part of the plan. Like, this is just it. And, there can't be a stop to it. Like, I think about the Awful Eye, dude, love you. Like, homie. Okay. We've had very deep thoughts. Awful Eye, follow him as well. He has this rare eye, situation, which, you know, he's not shy about it, but I have thought about this so many times in my life. What if a body part, ceases to work? Right? Like, what if your hands stop working, or, you know, your eyes, right? These very important tools. And I thought about that very early on. I was like, what happens if I lose that? And the answer was find another way to get it done. You know, like fucking, if your hands don't work, put that fucking toothbrush or that paintbrush in your mouth, like fucking do it. And I've always had that inside of me so that there's not a question of like a limitation, you know? I just won't let the Neuralink take over. That's my stopping point.
I love that. And you know, my next question was going to, I don't know, you actually led it really well. Today, right now, you ask or you hear from a lot of artists and creators in the space that are having this moment of like, is this going to end? When is this bear market going to end? You know, there's a lot of engagement farming going on. There's a shitload of negativity. You take a look at mainstream, you know, news, et cetera, and it's like NFTs are done. But this is what my life says that I should be doing. This is where my passion is. Breathe some life into that, Cole, because I feel like you have the words to do. What would you say to those artists, to those creators that are struggling with the negativity, that are struggling being seen, that are struggling with, you know, this moment right now that I know that you've gone through in and out multiple times? What would you say to that person?
Well, I mean, the first thing is that like art is a lifetime of a journey. You know, I'm 20 years in to my journey. I feel like I don't even actually fully know where I'm headed, but I'm continuing 20 years in with a little bit more knowledge, right? Like I'm honing my own aesthetics, my own color palettes, my own toolbox, right? That keeps growing. But I don't like, there's so much shit that I have planned and dreamed of doing that like, we're talking decades to, and that's not, there's no brag in that. It's like, I have a long fucking roadmap. And I think that every single person, whether you consider yourself a full-time artist or not, it doesn't matter. Just understand that this is not the reality of what you're doing. Like, you are making art. And I think that making art for money complicates that, obviously. But like, at the end of the day, like, you have to just keep making the best thing you can make every single time without stressing, you know, like make something and then be happy with it and release it and make something new. Like, treat it like an ongoing love story, right? It's like, this is not some, yeah, it's kind of perfect. This is not like a fucking one night stand when like the cards aligned. No, like this shit is hard, but fun, and treat it with respect. And the market becomes, So I had a project I was working on, and it's coming out in 2 weeks. I started this project a long time ago, like a long, long time ago, like a year. I don't know, a long time ago, and it's done and it's coming out because that is what I do. I make the art and then I release it. Right. And I could hold back and wait for the market to flip and time it just right and hit that multiplier, whatever. Right. You know what? I know that I'm going to make something else. I'm like dollar cost averaging my art production. I'm like, literally, that is the, I've never actually thought of it that way, but that's what I'm doing. I'm just consistently releasing as you go. And if you do that consistently, you're going to hit whatever that elusive thing, like a market flip, right? Quit thinking about the market flip, like be the market flip for yourself. You know, like, I think that's what's going to flip the market, right? Like enough people saying, I'm not afraid of this thing because I know the mindset to like hold and wait for things to get better. But you know what? Think about that. Okay. Let's say you did that and you saw ETH breaking out, which it's a whole different conversation. I can't even get into that, but let's say the market's looking good and NFTs are hitting. Everybody else had that same idea. It's going to be, if you think it's hard to get heard about now, wait until next bull market. That is not the time to teach people about your art and release. You get that shit out now, like ASAP, because it's quiet as shit. You know, you can get engagement and you have to do it. Like you actually have to do that. It's true.
True. It's true. And you hit the nail on the head. I think, yeah, I think that you're encouraging a lot of people that like to hear that. Even myself, you know, need to hear that. So I think that's spot on. I want to open up the stage for a second. If anybody wants to come up and Cole, do you have a couple of more minutes? Is that cool?
Yeah. Actually, while we're in this vein, I definitely have, you know, 15 or so minutes. I'm gonna follow this up with telling you what my release is, because we all have to be our best self-promoters as well. We cannot be bashful about talking about our projects. And so here it is. I've been working on this thing for like a year. It is based on my it's called the DIs series, the Decentralized Mashup on Async. Came out in the mayhem of 21. And it's kind of like my, it's not a PFP project, but it's their faces. So in a sense, it is a PFP project. And it was, you know, it's collected, you know, people love it. It's a known, project. And what I've done is I've taken, there's 523 that exist. In the edition, and those are now they've all been made into 3D object statues. They're like metaverse sculptures, but they also are a interoperable VRM avatar. So it's a twofer, you know. So I'm basically taking my series, the decentralized series, and taking it into the metaverse. And I'm very excited. I love how it works. I've been running around on Cyber and Mona and my DI's guy, and it's fucking great. It's like everything I dreamed of and better. So that's going to come out in 2 weeks. This is like literally the first time I'm saying it. I cleared it with my inner team. I was like, I think I want to drop some alpha. So this is like literally before I even talked about it. So that's what's happening. Super excited. And again, it hits that special nerve that I used to, I still do, but at the concerts, it's that same concert vibe. So it's going to be super fun. We have a bunch of metaverse activations that will be happening. We're going to have a
So it's going to be like four segments. We're going to have a preview party in On Cyber. Okay. You can walk around the statues. You can see people walking around in the avatars. Then we're going to have a launch party at my moon base in Mona, which is like fucking crazy. We're going to have fun in there. And then we are going to take it over to my podcast studio for a VR podcast where I'm sitting in a VR podcast room in my avatar being interviewed by Roger Dickerman from Artifacts, who will be in Avatar as well. And then we're going to party like a week later at Broadside where everybody can wear their DI's avatars and Arthur is going to do a DJ set who is so fucking good. So we're going to do art and then we're going to party.
Woohoo. Let's go. That's exciting. Congratulations. That's really, really exciting.
Thank you.
Dropping that alpha on here too. That's, congratulations. That sounds really, really amazing. What can we do to support you in that?
You know, I think my big goal from this again is to have people have feelings. So what I would say is please come to any and all of the metaverse things, especially if you're not really like into the metaverse, do come because I make it as easy as possible. And I work with, you know, my friends are these platforms and I work with people who have easy metaverse experiences. So come check out the art and just share it with a friend and like, you know, hang out with your friend looking at metaverse art. Like what a cooler way to like, kick it.
Shane is caring. When are you going to start posting more things about?
It's funny. I guess I'll probably now. I will be dripping out stuff for sure. I'll share links. The main, stuff is coming out next week. So this is a little bit of alpha. But follow me, just follow me if you're interested. You won't miss it. I'll be pamping.
Awful. Hey, hello, welcome to the stage. How are you?
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm great, man. This is so cool. I'm so glad that I came and listened to it. You know, I love your story, Cody.
Of course, Awfully. And I had to give you a shout out, dude. Hope you're doing well.
Man, I wasn't supposed to try today, Cole. Wasn't supposed to. But man, I'm just so excited for you, man. And like I really wanted to get up here and just say thank you, man, for that. And it really everything. Like y'all, I'm gonna give y'all some alpha too. This dude sits in a DM with me and just talks and gives me advice. And, like, he is there for me, like, literally every time that I DM him. And the whole 3D glasses thing, I got, how many do I have? Five? Didn't you send me five, I think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not even, it's still in a package. Like, but everything that he said is like 100% legit. And the feeling, the whole aspect of feeling the art and stuff, I think that's why I have that physical piece because I can relate to it and I can feel it. And man, this is so beautiful, man. I love hearing this. And like, just like I said, your story, man, it's incredible and I can relate to it. So, it's so cool. I'm old too, though. So, yeah.
Oh, dude, I love you too. And you know what? A good cry is a good cry. So, it's all good. I'm right there with you. This is what it's about. These are the feels, you know? This is why we're alive. If you're not feeling, you're not alive.
That's how you know you're alive, exactly. By what you feel, man. Dropping knowledge, Cody.
Man, we're in the flow. We are in the flow. I love it.
Everybody needs a good cry. You know, and it makes me happy to know that people are in tune with that and understand that life is a journey. And at the end of the day, all we have are the memories and the connection we made with other people. So, Coldy, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you here with us. Honestly, like, I admire you as an artist, as a person, and the vulnerability that it takes for people to get up here and talk about their whys and, you know, what's important to you and let us know a little bit more about you. I'm forever grateful for that. Is there anything else that you want to share with us before we start wrapping up?
Just thank you back. I mean, this was like amazing. I really love this. I really want to save this for my archive, to be quite honest with you. This was a really powerful talk. So just thank you. Yeah, thank you for what you do and bringing up different artists, because everyone's got amazing stories, and it's fun to, you know, share mine. And, you know, I think more, let's just all share our stories. That's why we're here, right? So get your fucking words out there while you're alive and do it.
Damn right. That's exactly right. I'll make sure that you have copy of this, Coldy, and everything, and all of that good stuff. Don't worry about that. Yeah, guys, you know, honestly, you could have been anywhere and you chose to be here with us. And from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate that. We do this show every single Wednesday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's it for today's show. Make sure that you are following Coldy, that you are following us at NFT Girl, that you are following me, that you're following each other. Look to your left, look to your right, follow those people, reach out, make new connections. You have one life. YOLO, and, right? As the kids like to say. Go ahead, Coldy.
And also a shout out to NFT Girl. We've met in the past, and it's awesome to get this together and actually, you know, you have a connection and then you don't know what'll come from it. So that was years ago. So thank you for, you know, thinking of me and bringing me in. And man, I'm always down for this kind of stuff. So yeah, my DMs are open. Obviously, anybody here, if you want those damn 3D glasses or whatever, I'm around.
I'm going to hit you up for those because I do need some. So I will definitely be hitting you up for that. And everybody else, do the same thing. Don't forget, if you didn't know, now you know. Have an amazing week, everybody. We got Farouk on for next week. And then Snowfro for the week after that. So holler at us. Make sure that you tune in. Yes, powerhouse. Have a fantastic week, everybody. See you on the flip side.
love that you people are sticking around for the Pearl Jam. This is great.
This is awesome. Thanks, the same.
This is awesome. Like, wow, that's pretty good retention. Good job, Pearl Jam.
I was going to cut it off, but there's a lot of people here. All right, let's continue listening to it.
Man, yeah, no, great job. And good taste, everybody. All right, you guys, I'm going to listen on and have a good day.
Thanks, Kelda. You too.